This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Nancy Hatch Dupree worked for more than half a century to create and preserve an archive of the culture and history of Afghanistan. As a historian, Nancy wrote several books and more than 100 articles about the country. She first traveled from the U.S. to Afghanistan back in 1962. Over the years, Nancy saw the region endure many changes, including the Soviet and American occupations. Nancy Hatch Dupree died this week in Kabul. Her legacy lives on in the Afghan Center at Kabul University. The facility houses thousands of documents about Afghan culture and history, many of which Nancy helped curate and protect. The center was the brainchild of Nancy's late husband, Louis Dupree. He was a leading scholar on Afghanistan and a North Carolina native. They had a home in Durham together. Joining me now to talk more about Nancy's legacy is Jay Price, WUNC military reporter who has written about Nancy's work. Jay, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
This is an extraordinary woman. We have allowed 12 minutes for this survey. Not nearly enough time, but give us the scope, some survey of who she was.
Well, also there's this you know, and I've gone back and forth on whether I can put up with it, this phrase, the grandmother of Afghanistan. There's a certain hint of, you know, the female version of the patriarchy there, you know, is the white people coming in to save the, you know, the third world country. Nancy was Afghan, though, and I've kind of come to peace with that term. I'm not sure she ever did, but she was an Afghan more than she was American. She's born in New York. She's educated at Barnard, et cetera. But she was a citizen of the world and mainly of Afghanistan. And her role there, you know, it's so broad it really defies summation. I mean, any moral journalist doing a profile of someone should feel at least a pang of guilt for trying to shoehorn them into a kind of tiny summation. And her life was such this wild, sprawling thing that you just couldn't. At one point, an agent contacted me and wanted me to do a biography, and Nancy was all for it because not so much she didn't care about herself. She wasn't interested in herself. She was of an era where a lot of people weren't so much, but she definitely was not. She was only interested in the Afghans and in improving their lot. But she was willing to do a book. She was willing to do endless numbers of stories. Every journalist who came to town went to talk to her, and she would tell the same stories, and they developed this kind of highly polished sheen. And she said that it was, in a way, she was basically begging for money for her center and for the efforts to improve the lives of Afghans that she was involved with. But
so what brought
she found
her there?
It humiliating a little bit, but she would tell these stories.
Well, let's hear some of them and maybe start at the beginning. What brought her to Afghanistan?
Well, she came to Afghanistan first with her first husband, Alan Wolf, who was the cultural attaché. This was 1962. The cultural attaché at the embassy. Wink, wink, nod, nod.
CIA.
He was CIA, yeah. And he ran the station there, and he later ran the station for the region and was this kind of legendary, erudite, cultured figure who, you know, kind of shoved it to the Russians. But she was undercover, of course. He was undercover, so she was too. And the ambassador's wife ordered her to kind of organize the tea parties and things for the women of the embassy, and she was having none of that. That was not her thing. She was raised in India. Her father was kind of one of these pioneers of kind of rural development, and her mother was a Broadway actress who moved to India with her father and did kind of some of the early kind of public health things that you would do with essentially theater. She would go from town to town like doing these kind of skits to help with public health. And Nancy talked the Maharaja there out of a pony. You know, she lived in Costa Rica. She went to high school in Mexico. Hardly anyone knows this, but she was for a while a concert harpist. She was a tiny little thing dragging this giant instrument around on train stations and stuff. And it was just not for her, though. She would not be tamed. She wanted to be out in the world. She had 2 degrees. She had a master's degree in Chinese. And there she was organizing tea parties and things for the wives at the embassy. She just couldn't stand it. And she kind of fell into a depression there. Where Nancy, I think, in many ways became what we think of as Nancy was she visited Bamiyan, the home of those famous Buddhas that the Taliban dynamited and artilleryed down to their feet. giant things, just these wonders of the world. And in fact, the gaping holes they left themselves are still wonders. Kind of this, they were these kind of wonders of what people could do, and now they're these kind of wonders of how terrible people can be. It's a startling place. It's a beautiful place, not just the statues, but this kind of sweeping valley of potatoes and wheat fields and these brilliant kind of painfully blue mineral lakes that are frigidly cold. It's just a gorgeous place. And she went out and came back and at some, no doubt, a tea party, the cultural minister asked her what she thought of what she had seen. And she, instead of being polite, said something along the lines of, well, it's just a crime. You know, you people don't have, you don't have anybody to guide anyone out there. You don't have written guides of this beautiful, beautiful asset. It's just a wondrous place. And he said, well, you're right. Afghan's very direct, right? He said, you're right. Do something. Do something about it. And that gave her kind of like the first little push in the direction.
She writes. She actually ended up writing.
She wrote a guidebook of that particular that particular province. That's how she got started. And then this might be a good time to play this clip.
Well, yeah, because we talked about her first husband, who was a CIA guy, cultural attaché in quotes. But then she didn't stay with him. She meets another guy who is a historian, right? And this is Louis Dupree.
And he, you can't tell her story without telling his. They were a couple, but essentially they were one entity.
Yeah. So this is a clip. She was on the story with Dick Gordon back in 2007, and here she is telling Dick exactly how she came to meet Louis Dupree.
He gave me. I went in, and he was sitting in his gulhana, which was a bank of flowers. Or they bring them in for the winter time, you know. And he had a big desk, and he's all these flowers behind him, very impressive, and. He had just handed me this paper. And up in the right-hand corner, it said adequate, but nothing original.
This was on the guidebook that you'd written.
Well, you know, I was fuming, but I controlled myself, turned on my, and said, thank you very much, Professor. I am writing a guidebook. I'm glad that it's adequate for tourists. I don't need to be original because I'm not writing a PhD thesis. And I turned on my heel and started to walk out, and I heard this voice behind me saying, come back here. And so that was the beginning. I turned, went back, and never left.
Nancy Hatch Dupree talking with Dick Gordon on the story in 2007. I'm talking to Jay Price, military reporter. So she stays with Louis Dupree, and we have not allowed ourselves enough time to tell her whole story, but talk about her contributions and her efforts then to sort of collect and create an archive, a written archive.
Yeah, and that story she just told was one of the highly polished ones that she would tell any number of journalists who came through. There were all these sound bites. The notorious wife swap, right? I mean, her ex-husband married Louis' ex-wife. And there was this kind of, you know, even in what was then kind of considered the Paris of South Asia, it was a very kind of modern place in many ways. Kabul was the sensibilities then. That was a scandal, and they had to kind of distract from that. So her former husband suggested a big party, you know, an engagement party for them, and they had this very lurid marriage ceremony at an old palace, and Louis had to promise essentially a dowry of 10,000 sheep. And, you know, these are part of these kind of stories that she would tell. She wouldn't tell much more about how the affair really got started. She told me that, and I guess I'll probably have to save it for the book one day. But
she ran around the country creating libraries. She had to, at some point, the archive that she helped curate. Remember, the Afghans are creating their own culture, and they continue to create their own culture. But there's somebody who's sort of trying to assemble this in a place, and that would be her contribution.
Yeah, and, you know, so Louis started developing this kind of collection of documents, essentially of the modern history, kind of the war years, the recent war years of the country, the Taliban, the Russians, and so forth. She ended up with that when he died in the 80s. She ended up kind of curating that, and it grew and grew. And she was in Peshawar then. They were essentially run out of the country during the Russian years. And she eventually, once the Americans invaded, took over, she let things settle down for a while and then smuggled the documents back into the country when she felt things were safe. And trucks after trucks after trucks of essentially sacks that were labeled for a fertilizer. But, you know, she, prior to this, one of the things she had done was basically go to every corner of this country. This still, you know, kind of the very definition of hard traveling. She was an outside person. You know, she wanted to be out doing this. She wanted to be a part of life, not just looking at it. And Louis was the same way. And he was an archaeologist, basically, by training. He had 3 degrees from Harvard, a former paratrooper. Really profane person, cursed like a sailor, and they ran these drinking salons in the winter months. In the summer, they would be out and doing field work in every corner of the country, where he was kind of developing what became the real basis for recent scholarship on Afghanistan, just every aspect of it, sociological, anthropological, geological. He said he wanted to understand Afghanistan from one cell up. And he did. He became kind of the preeminent Western scholar of all things Afghan. But they would go out and do field work in the warm months, kind of bouncing around the country in these little jeeps. There was a pretty strong feeling among some folks that he was at the time working with the CIA, maybe not for them so much directly as occasionally gathering stuff for them. And there would be a lot of young men with crew cuts on some of these trips who would vanish for a day or two at a time. Louis would take pictures of certain equipment that the Soviets would have and so forth.
I knew this was going to happen. We're going to have you back. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to. It's a fascinating story. We're going to have to hear more. Reporter Jay Price has spent a lot of time with Nancy Hatch Dupree, and we'll get more. But for now, Jay, thank you so much.
Oh, glad to be here.
Just ahead, we're going to learn more about the celebrated, ferocious, and an animal that's been with us for many, many millennia, the dragonfly. You'll hear about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.